Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Ephesians. The New Testament book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. We're progressing nicely through this series of the book of Ephesians, learning more about Jesus Christ and his relationship with the church and his relationship with us. And as we go through chapter 4, we are already hitting the idea of that Jesus Christ wants unity in the church. And he's starting to get more and more practical with the illustrations, with the explanations of having unity in the church. And we'll talk more about that here in just a bit. But remind you that as we continue with Ephesians chapter 4 on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, that those are going to be very practical messages, very helpful messages. On Sunday morning, we're going to be explaining that no corrupt communication proceedeth out of our mouth. We're dealing with the idea of how we speak and how we deal with other people. We understand that we have to do a lot of communication, and that how we speak to people and how we deal with people is very important in our relationship with the Lord. And then on Sunday night, important message about bitterness and unforgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness, something that even Christians struggle with constantly within their own lives, is the idea of bitterness. So on Sunday, we're going to get to very practical messages. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more on the practical side of the Christian life that God has given to us. And so with that in mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, and notice with me, starting at verse number 17. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 17, the Word of God says this: "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4? The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and notice with me in verse number 20. Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 20, notice the phrase, "learned Christ." Learned Christ. And with the Lord's help, we're going to speak about this Christian life that we have, the life that we have in Christ, because we learned Christ. We learned Christ. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. Thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the salvation that you've offered us. Thank you so much for the miracles you do, both little miracles and big miracles, things of answered prayers that we see all the time. Thank you that you are a great God. And thank you, Lord, that we can have a changed life as we learn about you. I'm asking, Lord, that you continue to make differences in our life, that as we continue to follow after you, as we continue to put our attention on you, that you would change us from the inside out, and that it would be a continual work until we finally are called home. Lord, I'm asking that you would just let us open up the Bible in a special way tonight, that it would be practical, it would be a help. It let us see the difference between the old man and the new man, that you would just let it be clear. Let your Holy Spirit illuminate every heart. Again, I recognize my need of you, that it's all about you. and that you fill me with your precious spirit and that you get your own work accomplished tonight. And in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. We understand that the Christian life lived without Christ is not Christianity at all. You understand that there are some people that when they call themselves Christian, they put on a label and there's no change and there's no behavior about that. We understand that some people are pretty good at painting the barn but doing nothing with the wood inside. That they look good on the outside, but they're rotten to the core on the inside. You understand the Christian life is not how to fix behavior. It's how to fix our relationship with the Lord. And as we learn Christ, he changes us from the inside out. That is the key, is to get people to follow after Christ, to learn Christ, to observe Christ, to notice him, to know him personally, and walk after him. And so if you don't mind, as we walk through the book of Ephesians chapter 4 in this segment here, the first thing I'd like to show you is the new life. The new life. And as we examine the new life, we know that there's a comparison given here that we want to start off by what it was like before we came to know the Lord. What was the sinner's condition? Notice with me as the Bible describes the sinner's condition in verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. You understand that the Christian life is different than the non-Christian life. That those who are not following the Lord are going a different direction. They have a different goal. They have different things in mind. That living the Christian life is not necessarily a better life, but it is a different life. And therefore, because we learned Christ and we follow after him, we are expected, according to the Bible, to live differently, not to walk as other Gentiles walk. How do the Gentiles walk? Well, notice as it continues on in verse 17, where it says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Remember that word vanity carries the word of emptiness. That they're walking around empty-minded. Well, what does that mean? That they're carrying around, walking with the idea, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's about my hurts, my woes, my. You understand that how Gentiles walk, how the lost people walk is that they are walking, thinking all about themselves, their job, how things affect them, that they're worried about other family members because family members make them feel bad. You understand, it all goes back to how they feel. They go to the idea that there's even some people who may be saved that says, I want so-and-so saved. Why? Because that way they don't bother me anymore. That way they don't aggravate me. So that way, they're not concerned over their soul. They're concerned over how that soul affects them. You understand when we're the idea of the vanity of the mind, how do Gentiles walk? How do lost people walk? They walk always concerned about themselves and not concerning others. Notice as it goes on, as we see about the sinner's condition, how was we like before Christ? How do lost people live? Verse 18, having their understanding darkened. Having their understanding darkened. We understand here that lost people, that they walk in darkness. The Bible gives a principle that every person has been given light. And that light obeyed produces more light. And light disobeyed produces more darkness. So let's just imagine that we're out in the dark. Maybe we're walking in a park and there's a lit path and that sidewalk's lit. And as long as you walk in the light, you have more light before you to keep walking. But as soon as you step off the path, you start to walk more into darkness. So, just imagine a park, that lit sidewalk, but the rest of the park is dark. As long as you walk on that lighted path, you get more light to take another step. But as soon as you step off, you may have light first couple steps, but soon you start walking into more darkness. What has happened to those who have not accepted Jesus as our Savior, even us, before we came to know Christ as our Savior, we walked in darkness. because we had disobeyed God. We had disobeyed the light that was given to him. And that our minds are darkened. Our lives are darkened. Our understanding is darkened. That there are things that we don't understand about the Lord. We don't understand about the Christian life. And we're speaking about the idea of us before Christ. That going to church every service, that doesn't make sense. Why would anybody do that? You know, simple things like, I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. Well, I understand Christians are supposed to do it, but why? You understand that their understanding's darkened. They don't understand the things of Christ, so therefore they don't follow the things of Christ. And the Bible said, because Christ is real, because we are learned of Christ, that we are different in that regard. But for those who do not know Christ as Savior, those who walk as Gentiles, they just think about themselves. Their understanding's darkened. Having their understanding darkened, be alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. Now notice, it's not calling them ignorant. It's saying they have ignorance, meaning that there are things that they don't know. You understand that there are some things that people don't know. And because they don't know them, because they don't know God is a good God, because they don't know that there's a God that answers prayer, they don't understand that there's a God who could give them salvation, they live their life without that knowledge, and they behave as such. That their understanding is darkened, that they walk and go through life through ignorance that's in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. That they don't know God. They don't know how good he is because their heart is blinded. And it's a spiritual blindness on their heart. That's the condition of the lost. Notice in verse number 19. It says, who being past feeling. That's a very interesting phrase, to be past feeling. Now, whether you like it or not, a sense of pain is important in the human body. Pain tells us that there's danger. Pain tells us that there's something wrong. There's something to pay attention to. For example, if I'm talking to someone and I place my hand on a hot stove, pain tells me, hey, stupid, you've got your hand on a hot stove. Maybe you should move it. If I didn't feel pain, I could do damage to my body if I'm not feeling pain. If I twist my ankle, that pain tells me, hey, there's something wrong. So I don't keep walking on it until I've ruined it and grinding it all to dust. You understand, pain may not feel good, but it is a necessary part. It is something that is given to us and designed in our human body. But notice this, those that are without Christ, those who have given over and have rejected Christ, notice as it says, who is past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work out all uncleanness with greediness. That here it comes to the place there where these people have put aside the conviction of God, that every time God has tried to speak to them, they've set it aside until they no longer feel conviction. You know that there are many people who are not saved right now. They are not convicted of sin. It doesn't bother them that they sin. It doesn't bother them whatsoever. Why? Because they've rejected God. They've set aside God. They haven't followed after God. Their understanding's darkness. They've sinned so many times that it no longer bothers them. They are past feeling. They don't understand that some of the actions they're doing is causing them harm. They are past feeling. And they not only are past feeling, but notice again in verse 19, who are past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. This idea of work means that they're working at it, meaning they're working at sin. Of course, we have no people around us who are not saved who work hard at sin. Maybe there were some of us before we came to know Christ who worked hard at sin. That was our full-time job, was working at sin. How much can I please me? I don't care what it is. I'm going to do it. And they worked at sin. They worked at greediness. They worked at lasciviousness. They worked at lying. They worked at theft. They worked at all these other things. They worked at it. Now, the Bible is giving a comparison. It starts off by saying the sinner's condition. What are people like who do not know Jesus Christ? Now it's going to tell us how we should behave. Instead of behaving like those Gentiles, those that do not know Christ, how should we walk? Notice with me in verse number 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. You understand that Jesus Christ does not lead us to walk in that direction. We understand that Christianity without Christ is not true Christianity. That Christianity is not a principle. It's not turning over a new leaf. Sometimes somebody says, well, I'll give Christianity a chance. Some of you might remember the old rock star, John Lennon. John Lennon, who of course was part of the Beatles, was very famous. He tried Christianity. He said, I'll give it a go. I'll see if it changes my life. And he gave it a go. But you understand that Christianity is not a set of principles. It's not a list of behaviors. It's Christ. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not trying harder. It's not getting religion. It's getting Christ. And when you follow after Christ, He changes us from the inside out. Some of you may be familiar with botany enough to understand how leaves fall. That when leaves fall off of a tree, that what happens is that the new growth underneath of it, actually, there is a type of tree that is the last type of tree to lose its leaves. It actually does not lose its leaves until spring. And the way that it loses its leaves is that the new growth actually pushes out the old growth and makes the leaves fall out as it pushes it aside. That's exactly what happens with Jesus Christ, is that as we follow after Jesus Christ, He pushes those stuff out of our life. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something has happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. You understand that when people come to know Jesus Christ, we're not trying to give them a list of behaviors. All right, now that you're saved, you said this prayer, now you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. You understand Christianity is not a series of lists and checklists and rules. Christianity is following after Christ. And as you follow after Christ, you will do what's right. You don't need to be told, all right, don't lie no more. As you follow after Christ, those things will fall away. That Christ follows us or changes us from the inside out. That we need to learn Christ, to follow after Christ. That we as Christians, we have a new goal, a new desire. As you follow after Him, He will change our mind, change our behavior. He'll make us live differently than those who do not know Jesus Christ. Notice as it goes on in verse 21. If so being that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. You want to know what the truth is? The truth is in Jesus. How do I find out what is the truth? Follow after Christ. Maybe you could put it this way. How do I know what to do? Follow after Christ. How do I know what's the right path? Follow after Christ. You understand the truth is in Christ. As you follow Him, everything else will be set into order. Sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, but as you follow after Him. As people start changing, it's amazing. They start saying, you know, God's going to make me give up my favorite hobby. He's going to make me give up my favorite pastime. He's going to give up my favorite thing. You understand there is no giving up in the Christian life. God will change your desires. He will change how you feel about those things. That they will fall away as you follow Christ. You will desire Him more than the movies. He will desire Him more than the activity, more than the music, more than the pastime, as you follow after Christ. And therefore, it's not giving anything up. Things just fall away. Isn't that wonderful? That the Christian life, you don't have to give things up. You get something far better, and that's Christ. Christ is better than all of those other things this world could ever give to us. So as we talk about this idea of learning Christ, we started off with this comparison of the new life. That what are the sinners like? And what happens when the saints convert it? What is the difference? That the Gentiles, they walk like this. Christians should look like this. Gentiles, they thought like this. Christians, they should look like this. What makes the difference? It's when we follow after Christ, when we learn of Christ. Not only do we have this new life, but let's also take a look at this new look. Notice this new look. Notice what must be put off. Now, notice as it gives this illustration or this phrasing that you put off. For example, I am wearing a suit jacket. I can put it off. I can take it off. I can set it aside. This wording means the same thing, that I put off. Notice verse 22. What things must be put off? That you put off concerning the former conversation. Remember that conversation is a Bible word that carries the idea of behavior. That you put off the former behavior in the old man. Now we are to put off the old life we lived. We're not supposed to wear the old clothes. We get a change of clothes. We put off that old man. We put off the old ways that we lived. We put it off. Notice this. The old man, but these old desires, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Notice this, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. When we put off the old man, we're putting off those former lusts. And the former desires, the things that we wanted before. You understand that the former life, that was a corpse. That before you came to know Jesus Christ, you were spiritually dead. You know what he's telling you? Put off that corpse. How would you like for the rest of your life to be strapped to a dying, decaying corpse? That everywhere you went, you carried around with you the stinking, rotten nastiness. You know what God is telling you? Put it off. Don't carry it around no more. Take it off. Put off the old man. Put off the old lust. Put off the old way of thinking. Put off the old way of behaving. Don't carry around your old corpse with you anymore. Put it off. Notice, if you don't mind, something else we put off, verse 23. And be renewed in your mind. That we have a new mind, a new way of thinking about it. We understand that the Christian life, the battleground is in the mind. In your mind, you choose to follow after Christ. In your mind, you choose to have your heart submitted. In your mind, you decide whether you chase after sin or not. The battleground's in your mind. And we have to understand that your Christianity is going to be won or lost in your mind. And the Bible says, put it off. Put off the old man. Put off the old behavior. Put off the old lust. Put off the old way of thinking. Take off that stinking corpse and walk away free. Notice as we have this new look, there are things that we put off, but there are also some things that we put on. Just like if I was to put on this suit jacket, put it on. Notice with me verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What is this new man? It's a man who lives in righteousness and holiness. That you decide, you know what? I'm going to follow after Jesus. I'm going to choose him. I'm going to live way in my life that it's pleasing to him. I'm going to put on those things. I'm going to take off that old corpse. I'm going to put on the new man. I'm going to put on righteousness. I'm going to put on holiness. I'm going to put it on and I'm going to live that away. That we're changing our garment spiritually. That I'm not going to live like the Gentiles. I'm going to live following after Christ. I'm going to put off that old corpse and the old way of thinking. I'm going to put on following after Christ. Now, where does it all center? It all centers on learning Christ. Studying him. Pursuing him, going after him, that Jesus Christ is the goal. This is where we come to. What is the goal of your life? What is the goal of your life? Maybe you've seen that bumper sticker that the man with the most toys wins. Is that the goal? Is the most toys? Is your goal to be the most champion fisherman, the champion hunter, to have the most books, to have the most video games, to have the most movies, to have the most monies, to have the biggest house, to have the most kids? What is the goal of your life? What is it that you want your life's purpose, your life's work to be? What is it that when you are said and done, what do you want them to put on your epitaph? What do you want them to put on your gravestone? What is it? What is it? Something of this earth? I want to be governor. I want to be emperor. I want to take over the world. I want to be a dictator. I just want to survive life. I just want to get, what is your goal of your life? Everyone's got a goal. Some people's goal is to do absolutely nothing. We've met some of those people. What is the goal of your life? Well, the Christian's goal should be Christ. My goal is to know Him. My goal is to be pleasing to Him. My goal is so when I face Him, He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When I face Him, I want Him to say, "I know you loved me and you proved it." I want to see when I face Him, He says, "That's my boy. That's my boy." What is the goal of your life? If we're going to live in a relationship with the Lord that we ought to be, He's got to be the goal. If we as a church are going to have the unity that God desires us to have, we all have to have the same goal. And that goal is Christ. If we're all going to the same goal, we're all moving forward together. When we have different goals, when we have different purposes within the church, that's when there's disunity. For example, when the goal is not God, but the goal is social needs. The goal is helping here. The goal is to be the best pianist. The goal is for entertainment. The goal is this. When everyone has different goals, it pulls that church apart. But when we say, we're just going to follow after God and obey what He tells us to do, we come together. That is the idea of unity. By the way, this doesn't just work for churches. It works for marriages. Amen. That the marriages have to have the same goal. If inside of a marriage, the two people don't have the same goal, what is the goal for our marriage? Well, I just want to be happy. Well, I just want to have enough food to eat out every week. I just want to do this. You know, what is the goal? Well, if both persons' goal is the Lord, they'll move together in unity. Hey, the same works for society. We have seen what happens in the last several years as we have a society that is ripping itself apart. You know what happens when everyone has the same goal? Society comes together. But right now, as we're observing, everything tears apart. As we now reapply it to the church, in order for our church to function as it should, we all have to have the same goal. And when we have the same goal, there are things we're going to put off and things we're going to put on. When we have the same goal, there are certain behaviors that we used to do that we are no longer going to do because our goal is God. You understand that the Christianity we're talking about is not list and regulations. It is not how-tos. It's not checklist. It's not how to make ourselves look good on the outside. It's all about the inside experience, the personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your goal? If your goal is to learn Christ, then He will change you from the inside out. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.